Welcome to Navigating the Customer Experience. Want to improve your organization's customer service? Looking for insider tips to knock your customer socks off? Then you're in the right place. Here's your host, Yannick Grant.
Welcome to Navigating the Customer Experience. And on today's episode, we have with us Ellie Parvin. Ellie is obsessed with the way people communicate and how various factors and environments can alter the perception of information, message, meanings delivered and received between those communicating. Ellie is also obsessed with the way people communicate. In fact, she has her master's degree in communication and organizational leadership. She loves teaching others and is a communication professor as well as a fitness instructor who has appeared in a number of education fitness format training videos. Further to that, Ellie's inspiration and knowledge is a combination of her education, research, experience, and what she has learned about herself and others when faced with physical and mental challenges along the process and journey through them. Her passion for communication led her to launch EllieParvin.com, which helps small businesses, organizations, entrepreneurs, and individuals learn how practicing and cultivating communication skills and techniques can improve their lives and their bottom line for optimum success. She specializes in internal and external communication, customer care, conflict resolution, team building, and communication via the various social media networks. She is the CEO of EllieParvin.com, Communication for Success, Health, and Happiness. In addition, she is also a member of the National Financial Education Council, Personal Finance Speakers Association, a TK Dennis Society Mentor, Society Rebel, and she's a weekly writer and contributor to the organization's educational and growth platforms. So without further ado, welcome, Ellie.
Thank you, Yannick. It is so wonderful to have this opportunity to be on your podcast as a speaker. I really want to thank you for creating this podcast and, you know, sort of bringing this message out to the world and out to large companies, small companies, entrepreneurs, that the value of navigating and creating that customer experience. So thank you for letting me be part of this.
Great. We really appreciate you being here. So as we get started, I like when, you know, my guests actually share a little bit about themselves personally and professionally to our listeners before we actually start, you know, answering questions and getting all conversational. So could you just share a little bit about yourself and who you are and what you're all about?
Sure. Just thinking along the customer service lines for me personally, thinking back to when I was very young, my very first experience with customer service, I was 15 years old and my mom brought me into her office. She had a small office, a psychology practice, and she had me answering phones. And so for me, working for my mom, it's like a family business. You're talking to people on the phone. I mean, not very many people are going to hire a 15-year-old to answer phones.
True.
Right? And it became very personal to me. And something that starts very early on, it kind of becomes your signature on how you are with every job or everything you do after that. It's just that it's personal. And family is very important to me. It's my number one thing on this planet, my family. And when you're working for a family business early on, and then you extend that to every job that you go thereafter, you start to gain a lot more knowledge along the way. And, you know, I love work. It parlayed into teaching fitness classes, because then again, it's about working with people and helping them be healthy, helping them get stress out of their day. And, you know, basically, I just have a love for life, a love for my family, and I want to grow every day.
Awesome. That is awesome. Okay. I'm glad you said all of that because, you know, even though the podcast name is Navigating the Customer Experience, and we typically think that, okay, customer experience only relates to a business and customer service. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that you spoke about that you're a fitness coach and, you know, you're about helping people, because one of the things that we strongly believe in any journey is that the customer has to have a holistic experience. And so the employees need to be holistically fulfilled as well. And there's six dimensions to wellness, and your physical wellness is very important for you to be able to exonerate that energy and that enthusiasm in order to really create a great experience.
Very true. Absolutely. That's absolutely on point.
Awesome. So our first question to you is, what's your view of customer service on a global level? You know, because I know you live in the U.S. and I'm sure you travel from time to time. You know, what's your views on customer experience?
My views on customer experience? Well, for me, the best example I can give was, you know, when I met my husband. The first year we met, he said one of the things, he's not from here, he's from Switzerland. And he's now been here about 15, 16 years. He said his first year, one of the things he loved most about America was that people smile at you when you are checking out at the grocery store or buying something or purchasing something. They greet you. Where he is from, that's not a general or common thing, or at least it wasn't when he was growing up. That could be true, you know, worldwide. But, you know, things have changed over the last couple decades. People are moving more towards service orientation, and you will start to see that sort of surge of people greeting you worldwide. And whether that's in person or via social media, I really think that the world is moving more towards a service-oriented culture. And to me, customer service at its core is truly building and maintaining relationships. And doing that through the way businesses and their staff communicate.
Awesome. So communication is the foundation for you to have a strong customer service culture in your business and even in the country that you operate in, right?
Absolutely.
What are some tips that you would give to an organization to create a customer service culture from a communicating perspective, you know, being that you're the expert in this area?
Sure. There's quite a few things I could go over, but I'm just going to keep it brief. One of the most important things you can do is when you're hiring your people, that's number one. It's hiring your staff. Because as much as you said before in the beginning, customer service is about the customers. You did also mention that it's about the employees and the team and the business. I have always considered the people I work with my customer as well when I'm communicating, because if I can make my team's day better or my coworker's day better or my boss's day better, that extends to what I can do for the people we service. And when you're hiring good people, you look for people who have heart, who have, you know, that level of critical thinking, and they want to implement the company mission. Because if you have somebody that calls, chances are they're not always going to get the customer service agent on the phone. They may be transferred to a voicemail to someone else. Their email may go to someone who doesn't do customer service. But even if that person, that staff member, that employee is not a customer service person, you want them to have that heart to care about the customer enough to at least reply to them, communicate with them, and say, you're going to help them resolve their issue. You're going to help them find an answer to their question. Every single employee should care about that, whether it's their job or not. So again, my most important number one service tip is, you know, just look at the people you're hiring. And I said once to my boss, she said, oh, no one can do what you do. I said, no, I can train anybody to do what I do. They just need to care about people. And that is the truth. At the end of the day, if you hire people who care about people, they will know how to go that little bit of an extra mile to service the customer. And the other tip I have is just for general customer service is four things. One, be nice. Two, be quick. Three, be thorough. And four, follow through with what you say you're going to do. These are my basic rules to help companies. And then another is, I could go on and on. I'll do one more just because I think this is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of companies these days, they have policies and procedures in place and a sort of limits that customer service providers can give to their customers. And unless, say, the customer is escalated to a manager or someone above that manager, you know, I think you do a lot better for your customers if you empower your staff, empower your employees to actually go beyond those policies and procedures and create a set of flexible policies and procedures. So, you know, any staff member could offer a refund if needed or necessary.
True.
And, you know, or any kind of discount and things like that. It shouldn't have to always be escalated. And I think a really great example is this doesn't even have to be with small businesses or startup companies. Even large companies have a flexible policy for their staff members, like Hertz. Hertz Car Rentals Global, it's been around for many, many years. They have this style, this flexible policy for any level of employee to be able to help their customers. And that a little bit goes a long way.
True. Very true. I like your four tips. So be nice, right?
Yes.
Be thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they need to follow through. And I know I'm missing one.
Be quick.
Be quick. Speed. It's so important.
Yes.
People just
yes.
want to get in
time.
And out in the shortest possible time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have
in
a problem,
out.
They want to be dealt with immediately and it fixed immediately. They don't want it escalated, taking a week, 2 weeks, because at that point they're so frustrated, they probably don't want to come back and do business with you.
Yes, that is so true. My previous boss, I worked for this woman, Shalene Johnson, for her company, Powder Blue Productions. And one of the things that she used to say often all the time, not just to me or to our staff or to all of our consultants, which we call trainers worldwide, she would say, be brief, be bright, be gone. And I always think about that in my mind. You do want to take the time to be there for your customer, but you also don't want to waste their time as well. And you want to be bright. You want to smile when you're on the phone. You want to, you know, be bright, be energetic, but be compassionate and solve their problem as quick as you can and follow up with what you're going to do. And a lot of times the misconception of following up, oftentimes people say, well, because I know I can't solve this problem right away, I'm not going to deal with it. That's a big mistake. What the best thing you can do for the customer is to say, this is what I'm going to do. I need to research this. I will get back to you within 24 hours. And that doesn't mean you have to solve the problem in 24 hours. It just means you're going to shoot them an email, a text, a voicemail message within 24 hours of the status of what you've said you're going to do with them. It doesn't mean, you know, don't call them if you haven't figured it out.
True.
So, I mean, really, it is about doing what you say you're going to do.
True. You know, when we do customer service training at my company, we have this, what would be the word that I'd use to describe it now? It's like an analogy called mm-hmm. keeping your hand on the horse. Basically means that, you know, like if you're brushing a horse, you've got to keep one hand on the horse and the other hand you're using to brush. So each time your hand comes off and goes back down, because the other one is constantly on the horse always knows where you are and what mm-hmm. you're up to. So, you know, he's not going to get skittish and kick you. And we use it to say that in customer service, your customers want to be always kept in touch with. They need to be in the know of what's happening. As you said, even if you're not solving it, but you're letting them know the status of where things are. You know, I'm still checking on this, just letting you know that everything is okay. We're working on this for you and we're going to get back in touch with you in another couple of hours. But we just wanted to let you know where things stand.
Yeah, I love that analogy. In fact, when I was preteen, I used to work at a stable, and you absolutely do have to keep that one hand on the horse while you curry comb the horse. And, you know, you're absolutely correct. Customers are the same way.
Yeah.
They're the same way. They like that one touch, personal touch. And, you know, it doesn't take that much time. It really doesn't take as much time as people think, but it's incredibly valuable.
True. True. Okay. What are some everyday solutions that you believe can help improve customer experience?
You know, just as I mentioned before, the everyday solutions is empowering your staff. Once you empower your staff to be flexible with some of the policies and procedures, if you open up a lot of time and you save time for the customer and your team, instead of waiting for a manager to approve this, that, or the other, it's so much easier if the whole team can kind of work together in this effect.
Mm-hmm.
Having an FAQ page.
Very important.
I think that is so important. Just from my own personal experience, going to a website, say I order an item online, I want to know when it's going to be shipped. If it's not in the email that says, we will send you an email when the item ships, or your item will be shipped within 2 days of the payment process, if it's not on there, I'm going to go to their FAQ to see when the item is going to be shipped, or if I have a problem with the item, or if I need to return an item, or if I'm having an issue, say it's a technology service that you're using. FAQs are the best. There's some really great services provided online where in their FAQs, for example, customer response managers, CRMs, if you're using their services, they not only have an FAQ, but they also have how-to YouTube videos uploaded for almost every question you have to give you that visual, you know, access to this is how to do it. And I think this saves them a lot of customers calling in asking, how the heck do I do this? So, and the added benefit is they feel that personal touch because it's a video.
Yeah, it does make a difference. People like visual stuff. It resonates more with them. So you definitely have to use the technology. On that note of technology, as it relates to communication, social media is very big nowadays. Like I can't even keep up with all of the new apps that are out, you know, Snapchat, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook. So as a communications expert, how would you encourage companies to be very responsive and be very customer oriented in this new medium of communicating?
You know, this is huge for me that you said that, because this social media has changed the face of customer service. On one hand, many people would say, oh, you know, it's a hassle because now you have to keep your eye on this, keep your eye on that, keep your eye on this. But the truth of the matter is that 85%, there's research done, and I think this is back in 2013, so I'm sure it's even higher now. 85% of customers contacted businesses via some social media platform or communication, like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. That is very high. And I cannot tell you how many times, even in the last 4 or 5 years, that issues have been resolved quickly because somebody posted something on Twitter, somebody posted something on our Facebook like page, somebody posted an issue on Instagram. We were notified, we were able to resolve it quickly, and added benefit, in turn, this actually made that customer say so many good things about us that, you know, it was almost like an instant online social referral. So it improved the business.
Wow.
And it improved us and our products. That's really valuable because, you know, it takes about, I think, 5 times the amount to earn the trust and gain a new customer than to actually keep a customer you already have.
It does. And then if you have a bad experience, it takes 13 good ones to wipe out that bad one.
Exactly. Exactly. And one of the things that I'm super geeked about, super geeked, I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to say that's a word, really excited about it, is the live video opportunity, like Facebook Live. You want to test a new product or test a new service, you can actually create a private group on Facebook and do live video, do some correspondence, have your customers test that product, give you live feedback before you even launch it. And they could talk to you live. That connects with your customers. And guess what? You solve a lot of problems before that happens. Before you launch the product, you're doing sort of a preventative problem solving measure. I love the live Facebook because it's an opportunity for your customers to connect with you. It's real time. It's the real business. You could either have the owner or a manager or whoever is the face of that company go on camera live from the office, take a view of the office live, have people ask questions about products, services, what you do, see what the day-to-day life is like. It's just a way for your customers to connect with you. And you know, the beauty of that is when customers actually feel part of the business and connect with the people there and what goes on there in live video, they feel like they're vested.
Yeah. They feel a part of the process, the experience. It's like they're, you know, your partners in business, which really they are.
Exactly.
But now they feel like it.
Exactly. So, you know, highlighting good customers, using your social media, doing things like what Instagram does. A lot of businesses, they have a special hashtag so that when they look up what their customers have hashtagged, this special hashtag, they can share it on their feed and they can highlight what customers have done using their product or service. And that's just, you know, free advertising for them by building up their customers using platforms like, I mean, even Snapchat. now is really huge. I have not started using it yet because, like you said, it's hard to stay on top of all of them. And I think it's important that you have a presence in everything, but you really focus on, you know, maybe 1 to 3 platforms that you're strong in. So you train your customers to go to those platforms to be heard by you.
Yeah, that is true. I like that you suggested that instead of, you know, trying to be on top of all of them and then failing.
I mean, unless you have the financial means to hire a social media team, an organization.
Right.
Then you can do that. There's actually, it's fairly new, a platform called conversocial.com. And what they do is they actually curate posts from all the various social medias into one and message that information to basically the business, whoever is managing the curated content of the social media. And that's called conversational.com. It's fairly new. I haven't used it myself, but I was reading about it about a month or two ago. It seemed very interesting. Just a good way. A lot of people say good things about it, but I haven't tested it myself.
Okay. Well, that's definitely a good resource for our listeners.
Thank you.
Okay, Ellie. So what is the one online resource, tool, website, or app that you couldn't live without in your business or in your personal life?
Ooh, I just have to say, it's always been Instagram, but lately it's Facebook.
Okay.
I can't live without Facebook and Instagram because as a small business owner, it's vital for me to communicate with the people who are my customers and what their needs are.
So you're on Facebook and
Instagram
constantly to ensure
every day, even on vacation. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Okay. What are some books that you have read that have had the biggest impact on you and on your business?
Oh, books. Oh, yes. My favorite book, and this is before I started my own business, is a book called Raving Fans by Ken Blanchard.
Oh, I know that one.
And another author. I know. Everybody knows it. If you are in customer service or you are a customer service manager, I highly recommend this book.
Yeah.
It's an easy read. It's a quick read. I'm constantly referring to it. There's so many nuggets in there of information. I just love, love, love this book. I actually don't even have my copy right now because I lent it out. It has all my notes in it. I have to remember to get that back. But it's just a fantastic book. I highly recommend everybody. You can probably check it out at a library even.
Yeah.
If you are on a budget. It's such a fantastic book. It's one of the things about the book that it recommends is that you constantly monitor the customer's wants and needs and then, you know, alter your direction when the customers alter their direction. And then, you know, there's rules in there that tell you how to sort of move ahead and go beyond the company vision, because you do have to evolve your company's vision with the change of times and the change of your customers' needs. And of course, with technology, the needs are always changing.
Definitely.
And, you know, people, depending on your customer, and this varies for every company, but depending on the specific customer, you know, that customer could evolve. Say, for example, your customer is parents or moms that have, you know, elementary school kids, where eventually those kids are going to go to high school and then they're going to go to college and then they're going to be out of the house. And the people that have been following you, your customers, dear loyal customers, will be empty nesters. So you know, some businesses may have to change and evolve with that if they want to keep those customers. And another thing, there is one thing that to me is, I think I read it in a book or I heard it at a training. I cannot remember for the life of me, but it's stuck with me. It's very powerful. It's not my own, but one of the things that is in Raving Fans, it's great. It talks about, you know, the golden rule, right? Everybody knows the golden rule about customer service.
The customers are always right.
Yes. But you know, I don't believe that, because the truth of the matter is the customer is not always right.
Yes, that is true. It's like one of those statements that literally is not correct because we're not perfect as human beings. So no, the customer can't be always right. But the principle that the customer is always right is what you want your employees to, you know, get in their brain. So they don't get defensive when customers complain or they don't try to make excuses, but they realize that the customer is right because they're expressing some discomfort or inconvenience and they own the problem and try to fix it.
This is true. But see, this is what we believe. This is what we've been taught to believe by the golden rule. And when I go in and I do trainings for staff, I do like staff building and, you know, how do you utilize your staff to grow your social media communication instead of just having the owner do it. One of the things I do is I try to, again, I'm obsessed with communication and words are so powerful. Mm-hmm. And when we use words like always, we have a tendency to just subconsciously, when we know a customer is wrong, we immediately want to become defensive to support the company because we love the place we work. And we could, if we're not having a good day, we could go back to that customer and negate them. And that's the last thing we want to do. So what I want to try to do when I do my trainings is to change the definition and change the terminology, get rid of the golden rule. I want to throw out the golden rule.
Okay.
I want to impart the platinum rule.
Whoa, and, I love it.
Yeah, the platinum rule. And the platinum rule is that the customer is the customer. And you see the empowering nature of that phrase, the customer is the customer. It has nothing to do with whether they're right or wrong. They're the customer.
Right.
Our job is to service the customer. Who cares if they're right or wrong? We need to be there for them. So I feel like if we start to change the definitions, change the terminology and the words, because the words are so powerful, the way we communicate, not just to the customers, but to ourselves and our brains are so powerful that we'll inherently do a better job servicing. We won't be defensive.
That is true. That is true. It's like subconsciously when you say the customer is always right, you're kind of programming your brain in a particular way. So when you say the customer is a customer, there's no right or wrong. Your brain now conditions to the fact that this is the customer and I need to do whatever it takes to ensure that they leave here feeling good.
Bingo, you got it. That's exactly the meme. That's my goal. That's my belief about that rule. It's no longer the golden rule. I threw that out. I'm enlisting.
We're now into the platinum rule. Okay. So all our listeners out there, that's the new rule. Out with the old and in with the new. We have to continually evolve and keep moving on.
Absolutely.
Okay. So Ellie, how do you stay motivated every day? What are some of the things that you do to keep yourself like pumped up?
You know, there's the most powerful thing I do every day is don't laugh. It's the same thing. It's habit. It's creating a morning ritual, a set of habits that get me on the right foot every day. Yes, it is important to do something you're passionate about and you love, but in life, there's always going to be a series of ups and downs, whether it's in your business or your personal life. And as a customer service person, it's my job to find the good in my day and build the good into my day early in the morning so that I do, quote unquote, get off on the right foot. One of the first things I do in my habit is I get up in the morning. It sounds so silly. Get up in the morning. I do some stretches. I do a little yoga flow for about 10, 15 minutes. And then I go, you know, get ready, wash my face, brush my teeth, etc. And while I'm making my breakfast and eating my breakfast, I listen to podcasts I love. And that really just ignites my motivation for the day. I'm a fan of podcasts that are done by servant leaders, leaders who believe in a servant mentality, like a servant leadership mentality, that they give and they give and they care about people. And that's why their businesses are successful. People like Chalene Johnson's Build Your Tribe. I listen to, there's so many great ones. I have like a whole list of them. A new one that's out by James Wedmore that I really love, Mind Your Business. He's so positive and gives so much. Of course, you can't deny Lewis Howes, the School of Greatness podcast.
Oh, I love that one.
One of my favorites. I mean, I have so many podcasts I listen to. And now I have another one to add to my list, Navigating the Customer Experience podcast. That will be on my list of listen to's. I just enjoy listening to these people in the morning and being empowered by them in my business and hearing their ideas and listening to the people they interview. And they're heart-centered, they're people-centered. And that just gets me off on the right foot. Mm-hmm. And from there, it's, you know, basically I have my day scheduled out. And yeah, if something goes in and throws a wrench in that, that's no problem because I already had my morning start and that fuels me through the whole day.
Awesome. Awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that they share so many great things. I think one of the things that I've learned over the years is that I think sharing information with people, and I guess it goes right back again to communicating, mm-hmm. is one of the best things that you can do for yourself in life. You know, books are great to read and you do learn a lot of things and you do take away a lot of nuggets. But when you actually get the opportunity to talk to people or listen to people share information, it also widens your mind and exposes you to so much more. And, you know, you just get that light bulb that goes off in your head and you're like, oh, I didn't think about it that way.
That is so true. If you think about it, that's why technology and the internet are so powerful, because you now have this tank of shared information that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
And for me, I've always been a proponent of learning by teaching or learning by doing. And I've often found that, and I'm sure you would agree, that if you ever explain something to someone or try to teach something to someone, not only does that help you remember the information on how to do it, but you continue to get feedback from that person. Maybe they didn't understand how you explained it to them, and you learn another way to explain it. That's just added knowledge of information you need to fill in the gaps when you're teaching something.
True.
Or maybe they give you another idea. There's so many different ways that, like you said, sharing information is valuable. And who doesn't want to hear someone else's story? It's always a wonderful feeling when you feel that connection with someone, when you feel like, wow, we have that in common. There's somebody else out there in the world that I feel connected to because we share some common frame of thinking or some common habit or some common thing we love or are interested in. And I absolutely agree with you. Sharing is so valuable.
So important. You know, as you said that, are you familiar with Brené Brown?
Oh, I love Brené Brown. Oh my gosh. I absolutely love her. Like when I started as an entrepreneur, her TED Talks really helped me to improve my confidence, and her books. She is the ultimate confidence builder. I love Brené Brown.
Yeah, she's awesome. I did a course with her about 2 years ago, as a matter of fact, that she joined forces with Oprah. And the course was called The Gifts of Imperfection. And that to me was so, just the way how she explained everything in the book and in the course, the videos that we got released every week. And it was just a completely different way of thinking. And sometimes, as you said, you're going through something and you think that you're the only one going through it, and you keep secrets bottled up inside you for years upon years, and it festers and it affects the relationships that you have with your coworkers, with even mm-hmm. your spouse or your children. And once you release that secret and you start to talk about it with someone that you trust, that you believe you can share your story with, that you believe will, you know, treasure it as much as you have and not judge you or, you know, just be there to support you. I think it was a turning point in my life. Honestly, it was amazing.
So powerful. You're absolutely right. There's that theory. When I was growing up, my mom used to say, don't ever hold anything inside. Don't ever keep secrets. Don't hold anything inside, because it will manifest into something else. And secrets can, you know, not just only injure you inside, but they can really separate you from the world and distance people from you, distance people you love from you. And I absolutely agree. Once you share a secret, you take away its power.
Yeah.
And I really feel like Gifts of Imperfection, that course and the book, like you said, I love that. I read that book. And again, I lent it out. I haven't got it back yet. But it really does open your eyes to the power of just letting things out and accepting yourself.
Yes. Acceptance. So important.
And you're right. It's overall, at the end of the day, it affects your relationship with your coworkers. It affects the relationship with customers, because you carry that with you.
Yes, you do. You do.
Right? And you can tell when you are on the phone or even in an email, the word choice, you can tell if somebody is having a heavy day. At least for me, I can. But I've always tried to check things at the door. And like I said, focus on the good things, great things for people that they can do if they're sitting at a desk answering calls, is have motivational signage. You know, they have so many motivational framed signs right now. Have a picture of your husband or your kids or your pet right there in front of you. And when you look at that picture and you're on the phone, or you look at that picture and you're typing, you'll instantly smile. That will come across in your communication.
That is
true. If you're servicing others.
That is true. It's funny you said that because it's some of the things that I recommend to my participants when I do workshops, you know, that at the end of the day, you have to surround yourself with content or, you know, images that will fill your subconscious with the things that you're trying to train your mind with. The sad part is that we were all socialized differently. And whereas some of us were lucky enough to come from homes where we had happy moms and dads and no arguments and we grew up, you know, happy-go-lucky, some of us didn't grow up with those benefits. And if you aspire to have those things as being part of your personality, if you didn't grow with it, you have to work towards achieving it for yourself because you form your personality by age 5. So yeah. If you are, you know, you're grown into an environment where things are miserable and people are always complaining and you grow up with this kind of behavior, but as you get older, you say to yourself, I don't want to have all of this anymore. I want to be happy. I want to be free. I don't want to be stressed out. You have to train your mind to be that way because it's not going to come naturally because that's not what you were grown into.
It's so true. I know what you mean. I came from, my parents split up when I was 11. They stayed in touch. They stayed friends. But their relationship, we were very fortunate that they maintained the healthiest relationship you could being separated. And they never said a bad word about each other. And they always loved my brother and I. And it's just one of those things that you're right. It does affect who you become later on in life. But we have that power to remap the brain. There's so many studies on the brain and how it works and how you can remap the way that your brain thinks. And it takes time. But I think that's such a great bit of advice that you give to have, you know, images and motivational things around you that can retrain your brain or remind your brain and bring those messages to the forefront. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Amazing. Okay, so we have a lot of listeners who are business owners and managers who feel they have great products and services, but they lack the constantly motivated human capital. If you were sitting across the table from that person, what's the one piece of advice that you would give them to have a successful business? Their team is just not constantly motivated.
Yeah, be patient. Be patient. There's so many people that started small. That's my best bit of advice. Be patient, be small. Focus on a small group of customers that you're servicing. And don't give, this is going to be, probably people will disagree with me, but don't always give all your energy to the squeaky wheels. Mm. You want to give your energy to your best customers. Say you have 2 or 3 really good customers. You're small. You're a brand new company. You don't have a lot of people. You give those 3 customers everything. And then you get their testimonials. And then you ask them to share on their social media. Hey, would you mind referring? If you refer, I'll give you a discount. Studies have been shown that if you focus and give your attention to your top customers, the ones who don't complain, the ones who already love you, that your company is going to grow that much more and you're going to get more customers like them.
Yeah.
Which is what you want.
It's like the law of attraction.
Law of attraction. And just, you know, if I think about it, like my husband, like I said, he travels a lot. He always stays at the same hotel. And because he's at the same hotel, he's looked at as this sort of executive, you know, customer, this executive member of their hotel. And they always give him above average service. So he keeps coming back and keeps staying at their hotel instead of going somewhere else.
Yeah.
So once you do that for long enough, you know you're treated well somewhere. You're just going to keep going back there. And it doesn't mean that we get perfect service all the time or he gets perfect service all the time. Things happen.
Yeah.
And I could share you a long story about that, but I don't want to go over your time. But things happen. And you know what? They always make good and correct it and go above and beyond to correct it. If you go above and beyond to treat your great customers with that sort of platinum glove, mm-hmm. that will make more money for you than any money you spend on advertising.
True. Very true.
So just be patient. Focus on the people that you have. Listen to their feedback. Save their positive feedback that they give you in a folder on your desk or on your laptop so you can remind yourself that you are making a difference to some people. It doesn't matter how many people you're making a difference to. Eventually, as the people you're making a difference to grows, you'll start to have that capital to bring in other people to help you. And you'll know exactly how to tell them to serve your customers.
True. Very true. What's the one thing that's going on in your life right now that you're really excited about, that you're working on to develop yourself?
Well, one of the things that I'm working on to develop myself is I think that just because you're great at something or you're an expert or you get a higher education degree, that's all fine and wonderful, but you need to continue to do the work to grow and learn. And right now I just started Shalene Johnson's Marketing Impact Academy 2.0, and I'm just trying to work on building my communication skills so that I can launch my book that I wrote about a year ago in the future. I'm hoping 2017. And I'm just sort of building my list, building my platform. I am working on a small product right now that I hope to launch before the end of the year. In fact, I'm going to just make myself accountable and I say I'm going to launch it before the end of the year.
Very good.
Been coaching people one-on-one and I get so many questions about customer service, in fact, because a lot of people know me for my customer service experience, that I feel like I need to build something small to offer to, you know, new entrepreneurs or people that are launching programs that, you know, maybe customer service is not their thing. They're the developer, they're the builder, they want to work on creating things. They're good with people, but they're not good at the customer service. And not everybody has that knack to deal with the questions and the complaints and the issues that people are having. True. They need to focus on what they're good at.
Yeah, that's true.
So if I can, you know, develop something for them to implement that can help them with their customers and, you know, serve their customers and serve their business, that would make me so happy. Because I think customer service is, like I said, it's about building and maintaining relationships. If you have a business, you need to be able to build and maintain those relationships with the people who use your services.
True. Awesome. So I have had so much fun. I've learned so much just talking to you for the last 40 odd minutes. You know, it's just been amazing. Can you share with our listeners where they can find you online so they can have some of this rich information that you're sharing with us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am Ellie Parvin everywhere. They can find me at ellieparvin.com. That's my website. And they can even download my free tips. Right now, I have a PDF on my website that they can download. It's just a list of power words that will get people to move and bring people to action just by hearing them if you use them in your content or video or live face-to-face communication. So they can download that. They can see my blog posts that I've had built up for the last couple of years and ask me any questions they may have.
Awesome. Awesome. Are you also on other platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram?
My links to all my platforms are on my website. I am Ellie Parvin on Facebook, Ellie Parvin on Twitter, Ellie Parvin on Instagram. I am literally Ellie Parvin everywhere.
Awesome. Okay, so before we close completely, I'd just like you to share a quote that kind of, you know, you maybe look towards that quote every now and again, or you share it in your interventions with your clients, but just a quote that motivates you, that kind of makes you remember what you are and what you're about.
Really, I think my quote just goes back to the simplicity of customer service, and that's just about customer service is building and maintaining relationships, period. For me, relationships are everything. Social media is wonderful, but it also takes away the ability to build relationships. So it's very important that we utilize social media to build relationships the best way we can.
Awesome. Okay. So thank you, Ellie. Thank you so much for taking the time to share with our listeners all of your knowledge, all of your experiences. It's been a wonderful experience. I've learned so much just sitting here listening to you. And I know our listeners have gained as much as I have or more.
Thank you, Yannick. It's been such an honor of mine. You're fantastic. Again, I'm so excited about your podcast and that you're sharing your expertise as well as bringing the experts to your audience. It's absolutely incredible. I've had such a great time today. I look forward to maybe working with you in the future.
Yes, I do too. Okay, Ellie, thank you again, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. For more awesome resources to take your customer service game to another level, head over to navigatingthecustomerexperience.com. See you next time.